Hello, and welcome to episode 29 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question to PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor StevenDBC at gmail.com. In this episode, we'll be looking at part two of a summary or overview of the chronological events that occurred during the week of Easter, the Passion, or Holy Week, whichever you prefer to call it. So grab your Bibles and then turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and then we'll get started. Now, if you were with us for episode 28, which is part one of this two-part series, we covered the week beginning on Sunday through Wednesday. And so just by way of a brief review, the events that happened the week of Easter or the Passion, we started on Sunday. And Sunday is the day in which we associate it with the triumphal entry, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And then on Monday, we saw where Jesus taught the parable of the fig tree, followed by the second temple cleansing. And then on Tuesday, we have a series of teaching, and in particular, the Olivet Discourse. We see that in the Gospel of Mark, and then we have the very detailed description of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. But then on Wednesday, we see where we know, according to the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus taught each day in the temple. So there's continued teaching that occurred on Wednesday. But in particular Wednesday, one thing to note is that that is when the plot to kill Jesus by the Sanhedrin really begins to take effect. So again, we have Sunday through Wednesday, the triumphal entry, the parable of the fig tree and the second temple cleansing. On Tuesday, the Olivet Discourse, and then Wednesday, Jesus continues to do teaching there in the temple. But we have in particular the plot to kill Jesus by the Sanhedrin. And I mentioned this last time, and it's just helpful. Essentially, what you have is Jesus will be there in Bethany or close to Bethany, and he will go to Jerusalem. He will teach and so forth, return back, and then do the same thing again. And that occurs for the series of several days until we get to the day Thursday. And so for this episode, what we're going to cover is what occurred on Thursday through Sunday. Now, let's begin by looking at what occurred on Thursday. So we know the plot to kill Jesus has been accelerated on Wednesday of that week. But then in Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 26, we see the movement towards what will ultimately be the crucifixion and the resurrection. In Mark 14, verses 12 through 26, what we have there is Jesus giving instructions to his disciples to go and prepare for the Passover meal. And he gives them details of what they will find once they get there. And they will also need to go to a particular room and to have the preparations for the Passover meal to occur. Now, just briefly, one thing to consider with this is, in a similar way, obviously not exactly the same, but in a similar way, Jesus gave instructions on Sunday for the triumphal entry to go and to get the donkey and such, and the disciples find it exactly as Jesus had described it. And in the same way here, on the day Thursday, he tells them to go and to prepare for the Passover meal with the disciples, and they find everything exactly as Jesus describes. And it's just a reminder because sometimes we can have the perception that maybe things got off the rails, that things went out of God's plan and everything sort of spun out of control, when in fact the opposite is true. During the course of that week, the Lord was in total control, knowing all the events that would take place down to specific details. And so the Lord was overseeing everything and nothing caught him off guard, just as nothing catches him off guard today. So as we move forward, we know that Jesus' disciples go and they prepare the Passover meal, and ultimately we have the institution of what we would call today the Lord's Supper or communion. Now, if you'd like some additional teaching that Jesus does that is not recorded in Mark, you can look at John 13 through 16. That's what's typically referred to as the Upper Room Discourse. And that would be the same sequence of time. It would be on Thursday, and Jesus prepares his disciples. And again, that's John 13 through 16, if you wanted some additional details. But then moving on, after they conclude everything in the upper room, we know in verses 32 through 42 of Mark 14. Again, that's Mark 14, 32 through 42, we have Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays there in the familiar sequence there, where he prays that the cup, the wrath of God, would, of course, if there was some other way, that it be removed. Yet, of course, Jesus, in total submission to the Father's will and the plans that God has for that particular week. And so we have in Mark 14, 32 through 42, Jesus, his prayer and his time there in the Garden of Gethsemane. So again, as we look at this on Thursday, we have the preparations for the Passover meal. We have the institution of the Lord's Supper. You could look at John 13 through 16 as well for some more intimate teaching, expanded teaching there. And then, of course, afterwards they leave and they go to Jesus and the disciples, that is, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, it's worth noting that throughout, not only was Jesus in total control of all the events, he was in perfect submission to the Father's will, always wanting to do what the Father has commanded him to do and had for him to do. And may that be true for us as well. Now, as we continue, what occurred Thursday night through the early mornings of Friday? So again, now we move past the time of the Garden of Gethsemane. What occurred Thursday night? So what happened immediately after that through the early morning hours of Friday, what we call today Good Friday? We can find that in Mark 14, verses 43 through 52. And there we have the betrayal of Jesus, Jesus being betrayed by Judas. And we also have there the arrest of Jesus. So Jesus concludes the Garden of Gethsemane scene. And then in Mark 14, 43 through 52, we have the betrayal of Jesus as well as the arrest. This is also, if you're familiar with, for example, in verse 47, we see where the ear was cut off and Jesus immediately has the healing of that ear there. So if you're familiar with that situation, that is also included in that sequence of events. But we have the unfortunate betrayal of Judas recorded there. Now, as we continue, again, the timing here would be Thursday night through the early morning hours of Friday. So after the betrayal, after the arrest, you pick up in Mark 14, verse 53 through chapter 15, verse 15, and we have the trials. Now, sometimes, of course, we just would call it the trial of Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. But it's worth noting that in many cases, it's trials, plural. And what is the difference between the two? Well, essentially that there is a series of Jewish trials as well as a series of what we would call Roman trials. Let me give you a brief overview of the trials of Jesus. Again, sometimes it's just referred to as the trial, but whenever it's put in the plural, it's referring to a differentiation between the Jewish trials, so these would be more of the religious trials, versus the more civil trials of the Romans. So what you have here is the sequence, and first you have the religious trials. These are the Jewish trials, if you will. There's the first, second, and third sequence, and Jesus appears before Ananias, and then Caiaphas, and then the Sanhedrin. And so what we have there, again, is the Jewish trials, and those are typically seen as Jesus going and appearing before Ananias. You see that, for instance, in John 18, 12 through 14. And then Caiaphas, that's the second one, and that's Matthew 26, 57 through 68. And then finally, Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2 with the Sanhedrin. Now again, as we move on, there are three other trials. And again, these are just the way of distinguishing between the Jewish and the Roman trial periods. So in terms of the Roman or the civil trials, you have Jesus appearing before Pilate. That's John 18, 28 through 38. And then Herod in Luke 23 through 6 through 12. And then finally, you have Pilate in John 18, 39 through John 19, 6. Of course, it's interesting because in the Roman trials, you'll see that he's found not guilty. Each one of them, Pilate, Herod, and then again, Pilate again. Now, it's worth noting that in each of the Roman trials, so in other words, as he appears there before the Roman leaders there, the civil trials, he's found innocent in each of them. And so Jesus was truly innocent. Of course, he is the sinless sacrificial lamb, which is interesting. But again, he's found innocent, although, of course, ultimately condemned to crucifixion. If you're ever interested in studying on the trials of Jesus, it does make for an interesting study, not only this time of the year, but just in general. I could recommend to you James Montgomery Boyce, that's B-O-I-C-E, has a book called Jesus on Trial, and that one is helpful. And so if you're interested in that subject, I would point you to that as at least a beginning point of a study on it. You could also try out John MacArthur's book called The Murder of Jesus. He also has one called Jesus on Trial. So again, you could also, in addition to the other book, check out The Murder of Jesus and or Jesus on Trial by John MacArthur, and those will give you some additional details about that. Now, as we look to continue, finally we're going to look at what occurred on Friday in the early morning through Sunday. So again, finally, having been betrayed, arrested, and gone before the various Jewish and Roman trials, we find that Jesus is then led off for crucifixion. So what happens from Friday morning through Sunday? Now, the crucifixion itself, what we usually have as the time period, is approximately 9 a.m. on Friday through 3 p.m. on Friday. Again, that's an approximate period of time. And you can find that, for example, as we've been using Mark's gospel, primarily Mark 15, verses 16 through 41. Again, the crucifixion in Mark's account is Mark 15, verse 16 through verse 41. And we have there the period of time where that occurs. Now, I'll draw your attention, though, in particular to Mark 15 and verse 33, and you can get an idea of some of the time periods here. So it says, Mark 15, 33, when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, if you use the Jewish reckoning of time, which I believe is what he's referring to there, we would have the sixth hour being at noon, and then, of course, the ninth hour then would be at 3 p.m. So, again, you're looking at somewhere between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Again, that's sort of an approximate period of time that the Lord is on the cross and such. So after the Lord has died and given up his spirit, which we know again through the gospel accounts, Jesus willingly went to the cross. He also gave up his life voluntarily. And then after that, we see in verses 42 through 47, the burial account of Jesus in Mark's gospel. And so what you have is, for a Jewish reckoning of time, Jesus needed to be buried before sundown, because if you notice in verse 42, this was the time in which is the day of preparation for the Jews, which is Friday, and the Sabbath would have begun then on that Friday night. So they have to get Jesus into the tomb to be buried. And so they get him in there before the Sabbath began on that Friday evening. And so Friday would have equated for the first day, according to Jewish reckoning of time. And then, of course, he's all in the tomb all day Saturday. And then at the break of dawn on what we would think of as Sunday morning, Jesus arose from the tomb, that being the third day, for the resurrection. And the resurrection account in Mark's gospel begins in Mark 16 and verse 1. Notice, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so they might come and anoint him very early on the first day of the week. They go to the tomb and they go there when the sun had risen. So again, what you have is Friday afternoon, Jesus is crucified. He eventually gives up his spirit. He dies. He is taken down off the cross. He's buried, and we know in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And he's buried before the Sabbath began. So Friday would be day one, all day Saturday would be day two. And then day three, at the break of dawn on what we would think of as Sunday, Jesus comes out and we begin what we would call the resurrection appearances of Jesus. And those continue for a period of 40 days. And that's really important to remember as well, is that you have these appearances of Jesus that occur over a period of 40 days. Mark picks up in Mark 16 and verse 9, and he begins to give those. You also see those in the other accounts as well, in Matthew and Luke and in John. They all record various appearances by Jesus to various people over a period of 40 days. And so what we see there is that, of course, it wasn't just that Jesus appeared to one person. In fact, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus appeared to many people. And again, I think that's worth noting, is that there's a lot of theories on hallucination, and they try to come up with reasons to come away with, well, Jesus wasn't really resurrected. We know, in fact, he was. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 3. Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." But notice verse 5, "And that he appeared to Peter," or Cephas, "as well as to the apostles." But then notice verse 6, "After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep." And then Paul goes on and describes James and some of these others that he appeared to. But if you notice verse 6, it's almost as though Paul says, look, there was an appearance at one point during the 40 days where Jesus appeared to over 500 people. Some of them are still alive. In other words, go ask them for yourself. Well, as we go to conclude this short series, I hope that it has provided you with a summary or overview of the week of the Passion or Easter. But I want us to, as we conclude, remember that despite all that Jesus went through, the suffering, the mocking, and so many of the other things, he willingly did so. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Well, that concludes part 2, today's episode. I hope that it was helpful to you and a blessing to you, and I pray that you'll tune in next time. Until then, God bless.